You're listening to the Keith Blakemore Noble Radio Show, helping you transform your deepest fears into your greatest strengths. Here's your host, Keith Blakemore Noble.
Hello, welcome back to another episode, dear listener, dear viewer, however you're catching us, welcome back. And this week I have got as my guest Stephen Jones, the business disruptor. Those of you who listened to some of my previous shows, we caught Stephen about a year ago. This time we're going to be highly focused around the fears around sales. It's going to be a really interesting one. He's got a rather different take on it, so it's not stuff that you'll have heard before. But for those of you who haven't come across Stephen, or maybe those of you who have and just kind of want a bit of a refresher, let me give you a little bit of his bio. He was always going to run his own business, basically. When he was 10, he went around to other houses in the area doing chores for cash. Then he realized that his friends who wanted money could do the work for him, and he could just collect some of the money, deal with the clients, and pay his friends half. Many's a lesson was learned in that time that he draws upon even now. And this was at the age of 10. You can see this is quite a remarkable guy. He tried real jobs, several Saturday jobs, but he didn't like the concept of working hard for someone else to profit. Just never seemed fair. Fast forward to university, final year, election campaign against Hillary Benn, and a job interview with a publishing house. Then suddenly he graduated. His bank were talking about pension schemes, mortgages, life insurance. He ran to Australia, obviously. He set up a little sales consulting business, reviewing sales teams and sales processes. And yes, this was at the age of 21. And he was published for his efforts. He then took a year off, went to the US, rode a Goldwing around. Now that's an episode we need to record sometime. And ended up in Canada selling investments, which he did well at. And by the late 1990s, he had established a venture capital company with offices in Dallas and in London. He has lost everything twice. He's rebuilt twice, been divorced twice, and he's a single father twice because he has two kids. Stephen doesn't do things by half. He doubles up. That's my guest today, Stephen Jones. Hey, Stephen, how are you doing?
Hello. After that, I'm doing quite well. You always manage to make me sound amazing. I need to take you around to my networking events with me.
Fantastic. Let's negotiate the rates later, and you can get half of the commission. I'm learning.
You're learning. Absolutely.
So you're sales disruptor. What's all that about?
Business disruptor. I do sales disruption as well. It's born of a concept that... quick backstory on it. 2003, I lost all my money the first time. 2005-06, I was back in the UK rebuilding. Nobody would hire me because I was unemployable, because I've been running my own business for so long. I didn't have a sector that I was a specialist in. So I went around the networking events and set up managed growth program for small businesses and realized that everybody hates selling, because it's really difficult. And I thought, well, that's really weird, because I've been selling most of my life. And technically, one way or another, we all are selling. You know, whether it's why we need to go out with our mates on a Friday night to our wife or girlfriend, or, you know, whether it's why we can't go around to our parents for Christmas this year, we're all trying to think up ways to sell stuff, but we don't call it selling. And then I went off to the Middle East and blah, blah, blah. And several years later, I'm back in the UK, went out to the networking events and realized people don't know how to sell. They're scared of it. It's a problem. And it took a while for it to sink in that the reason people are scared of sales is if we sat in a room now with 1,000 or 100,000 people and said, okay, give me the first thoughts that come into your mind if I say salesperson. Of character traits.
God, yeah, you always do this. Put me on the spot. It's my job to put you on the spot.
Disrupt. I disrupt. What can I say?
You certainly do.
If I said salesman, are you going to think? Are you going to think
sleazy? I think is the first one. That word came to mind.
That's normally the first one or second that I get. Yeah. And variations of that. You know, shiny suit, pushy, talks too much, doesn't listen. Blah 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 blah. So, I mean, you're in hypnosis. You know a lot about NLP and hypnosis and all the rest of these sort of brain retuning things. Here's me sitting here running my own business, and I realize I have to start selling. But when I think about salespeople, I think of negativity. I think of can we say the word asshole on radio? We edit that out later.
You just have.
Okay. But we don't think of nice, genuine people. We think of horrible stuff. And then we think, okay, now I've got to go out and sell. So your brain is basically telling yourself you've got to become something that you despise or fear. Because we don't like being sold to. And then people wonder why they're not very good at it. Because they've created this system where right from the beginning, they're already in negativity and in a position of, to quote your work, fear. So the reason I called Stop Selling, Start Growing what I called it was because people need to stop associating the work that they're doing to grow their business with selling and make it more about growing their business. So that the very basis of it is that we stop selling our stuff to people and we start engaging in conversations with people who might be in a position to buy what we have. Mm-hmm. So we're trying to create an environment where somebody comes to you and buys from you rather than you pushing stuff in their face. You know, I could go through all the history. You know, IBM started doing the different levels of IBM. You had to wear a different color suit with a different color tie. So you knew it's like robots. You know, all those guys are sales, all those guys are admin, all those guys are management based on the color of the suit, the tie, for Christ's sake. But they would turn up in the mid, I guess, 60s, late 50s, 60s, 70s with their briefcase. They'd put their briefcase down, they'd open it up, and they'd take all their stuff, and they go, look at me, this is IBM, this is what we've got, and we're a dog and pony show, and all this stuff, and all these things, and features, advantages, benefit, this is a book, what's the feature? Well, it's a book, you can write in it, what's the advantage? You can write in it, what's the benefit? We've got something to write in. Yeah. People became much more intelligent. I'm not going to say intelligent, much more open to the concept of why we buy. So now, if you're going to buy something, whether it be a service or a product, the chances are you're going to go online. The chances are you're going to research it. If you're working in a company, you probably have to get 3 quotes anyway. So you want to make sure that if you're quoting, you've actually got a chance of winning the business before you start quoting. But the whole thing feeds back into that fear in that, if you've started off on the wrong foot, i.e. I'm trying to sell, you're always going to have that resistance in your own mind before you have it in theirs. And that resistance creates more resistance.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, we'll go on to look a little bit about the whole stop selling side of things in a couple of moments, because that's a fascinating area I really want us to dive into. Even though we've only got 25 minutes in this episode, we can still do a shallow dive. We can manage that. Yeah. But just before we go on to that, we touched very briefly, and you mentioned that people are scared of selling. Obviously, you've done a lot of sales training. You work with a lot of people. What are kind of the most common fears that people have around selling?
Again, I think the biggest one is this whole concept of what sales is. Mm-hmm. You know, we're setting ourselves up for that negativity because we instantly think of bad things when we think of salespeople. Ergo, I have to become a bad thing. And then people start saying things to me like, I don't like talking on the phone. You know, I've had women tell me I don't like talking on the phone. I've never met a woman yet that doesn't like talking on the phone to her friends. And we have to take a time out. Sorry, Jack, out. You can't come in here, Jack. I'm sorry. Apologies for that. It's the old BBC interview with the kid walking in, isn't it? Unfortunately, no. I don't have a nanny to come dragging the kid out.
That is just badly prepared. I'm sorry about that.
I've locked the door. So we can edit that bit out, hopefully. Right. So the basic fear for me comes from that it stems from that basic concept at the beginning of I can't do something because it's very negative and very bad. That's the start of it. Again, people talking on the phone. Guys tend not to like to talk as much on the phone if it's their girlfriend or their wife or their mother. But if you put them down in front of their mate in the pub, or talk for hours. So again, if we can disassociate selling, I'm pushing something to people, and we can start talking about having a conversation with somebody that has indicated they might be a potential user of what it is that I do or offer I have, then we're basically creating a paradigm shift in the brain, which is probably what your hypnosis does with people who are scared of spiders and things, in that I'm no longer thinking of, I've got to sell to this person. Instead, you're having your initial call with somebody with a lead. So you have a lead, and that lead you have an initial conversation with to find out if they are a prospective client or not. You're qualifying them. So you're not saying, oh, hi, I'm Stephen, and I do business development projects, and I'm a business advisor, and I can come in and I can fix problems, and then I have clients that have this problem, and I fix that, and then I do this, and I do that, and I do that, and I do the other. The guy's sitting there going, I don't have any problems in my business. What the hell is this guy going on about? In the case of a guy that's in my stop selling group, he doesn't actually have a business. He's a personal trainer. He's been targeted by an action by a well-known company who does coaching to sign up to his training course. He doesn't have a business. Sorry, how can a business coach somebody if they haven't even got a company in place yet? It's a ridiculous concept. So the idea is I'm going to have a conversation, for example, with you, Keith, and I'll say, hi, Keith. Yeah, I'm Stephen. I understand through whatever the direction the lead came to me is, whether it was through networking, I saw a comment on Facebook, whatever. I understand that you're having issues in your business. Do you want to talk to me about that? Tell me what's going on. It's as simple as that.
Wow.
Now, yeah. If we've built up some sort of rapport, or we've commented together on Facebook a little bit, and I ask you that question, the chances are you're going to say, well, yeah, you know, I've got a problem with this or that. You know, I'm not getting enough clients, or the leads that I'm getting, I'm not converting. I'm not invoicing people properly. I lose track of where I am with my clients. So whatever the problems are, as you start to talk to that, you're creating my proposal.
Right.
Okay. So all the problems are then things that I can go back and say, well, okay, I understand what you're saying about, you know, you don't have enough clients. I'm not a lead generation specialist by any stretch of the imagination. What I can do, though, bang, bang, bang. And then I will give examples like that where if I can't help you on something, I will be saying during the conversation, look, that's not something that I specialize in. I could do this, I could do that, and I could recommend somebody to help you with the other, but that's not something that I concentrate on. Why am I doing that? I'm doing that because I'm engendering a position of trust between the two of us where I'm being open. Actually, Keith, I can't help you with that. Oh, he's not just trying to sell me something. Yeah. That's interesting. So I'm now becoming a consultant to help you solve your problem. So again, the biggest fears, sorry, I've gone off on tangents again. I do that a lot. the biggest fear is action. You know, we used to do cold calls, and I used to dial 20 to 30 dials an hour, where sit there with a phone, keep it in the crock of the neck. You used to have special things you could put on your shoulder if you wanted to, and I just basically dial numbers, and I'd get 5 an hour, which was enough for me to get out 1 book an hour, which was enough for me to get out enough books a day that I could close minimum 2 units a week, $100,000 units. And that's what we did. And we would bring people into that environment, and they, ooh, why? Oh, because they might say no. They'll say a lot worse than no when you're ringing them up and you're selling oil wells, believe me, because some people have lost a lot of money in oil wells. F off, you're all bandits, I've had, and variations on that. In fact, we had one guy who, he went through the whole process, the guy accepted, and he got the FedEx envelope ready, and he put the check in the contract in the FedEx envelope and sent it back. We used to open up all the FedEx envelopes in the morning. We opened up this one, and the guy had taken a dump in the envelope.
Oh, nice.
And sent it back. Now that's a level of rejection most people don't deal with.
I guess a no on the phone is nothing compared to that. When you put
exactly
it
right. Luckily, it wasn't me that was opening the envelope that day, so I was quite happy. But the idea is if we can shift our thinking from thinking I've got to sell to this person and shift it to an environment where we say, actually, this person might want to buy what I have, we should be able to remove that fear entirely and it shouldn't be an issue.
Got it. So I guess a lot of people's thought when they're making that initial call is, oh, I've got to make a sale, I've got to get... Whereas what you're actually doing is you're simply having a chat with them, figuring out, is there anything that you could usefully do to help this person?
Absolutely. Let's take it a step further. You get a lead. Again, I'll use you as an example because you're sitting there and I call you and I go, Keith, John told me to give you a call. He said you're having some problems in your business. I understand, you know, it might just have been banter at the pub or whatever, but I've helped quite a lot of businesses, lots of different countries. If there's anything I can do to help, I'd love to. What's going on? What was the issue there? And you go, actually, I'm fine. I don't have a problem. Okay, great. Sorry to bother you. If that changes, you know, here's my number or my email or Facebook, whatever. You know, happy to have a chat. It's no commitment, 20 minutes, see what's going on and see if I can help. Bang, done. That's the worst that can happen.
Yeah.
Realistically, because you can't reach through the phone and hurt me.
Can you? I can't? Darn it. Okay.
Well, we're not going to get into the whole you could hurt me with words because it's a sensitive subject at the moment. I know. But my attitude is, okay, look, if somebody's come to me as a lead, and I don't care how they've come to me as a lead, that tells me they are potentially somebody that I could help with a problem. And that for me is the key, because if I'm thinking I'm going to pick up the phone and speak to somebody, now I've spoken to lots of people for 20 minutes, half an hour, that have never paid me. But they've gone off and said, Jesus, you know, what that guy's done for me is amazing. You know, I've just, great, it's free. Doesn't matter, because that's my marketing. You know, it costs me 20 minutes of my time. Somebody's happy. They're going to talk about me or they're going to mention. People have done that. You do need to speak to this guy because he helped me with my problem. Bang. The worst that's going to happen is you're going to say, no, I'm not interested. Mm-hmm. That's fine. It was obviously, you know, it's not a problem. I didn't cold call you out of the blue out of a telephone book. Done that before. there was a genuine inquiry of some description and I followed up on that to try and see if I can help you. Why am I going to be scared of helping people? And that's the paradigm shift that I think people need in selling, is to stop thinking of it as an archaic, horrible, scary tussle and fight, and you know, you're going to get into the objections, and then they're going to say they've got to call their wife, and they've got to ask their vet if the dog's okay this month, they don't have to pay any vet bills to make sure they can afford it, because the phone's got to be renewed, and it's January, you know, or it's December, or it's August, because there's always an excuse to say no.
Yeah.
And if you're in a sales battle, somebody's going to win, somebody's going to lose. And I don't like fighting. If I have to fight to defend myself, I will, but I don't want to go into a situation where I'm fighting from the start. And that's what most people do when it comes to sales. That's the biggest mistake in sales, is it's a fight. I'm going to win or they're going to win. If you watch films like Boiler Room and things like that, they've got quotes like, oh, everybody wins on a sales call. Either he wins by convincing you why he's not going to buy from you, or you win by convincing him why he is. Yeah. Why make a fight out of it? Jesus, if you need help, I'm here. I can help. If you don't want my help, that's fine. But if you want it, let's talk about why you might need it and make sure if you do. Because when I'm qualifying people, I'm not qualifying to see if I can work for them. Mm-hmm. Or with them, I'm qualifying to see if I want this person working with me and taking up my time. Because there are a lot of problem clients out there.
Oh, tell me about it. I think that is a very important point that you make. That it's worth reiterating. So when you're having your initial chat with someone, it's not a case. So we've already covered. You're not phoning up to say, hey, hello, yes, buy my stuff, because obviously that's not going to work. But you're also just as much as you're seeing if you can help them and they're seeing whether they feel they could work with you, the reverse is also true. You're absolutely basically saying, do I really want to work with them? Can they be a good client for me?
Absolutely.
And I guess that's something, and it's going off track slightly, but it's still a very important part of it.
It's part of the important paradigm shift to stop people being to go. I don't have a magic wand to wave and say, okay, go in there and go sell, because it's not going in and selling isn't going to work anymore the way that it used to do. Yeah. You know, you go to a car. I used to use the example. If you went out, you needed to buy a new sofa, for example, and you'd spent a couple of weeks online. You looked at different styles. You looked at different prices. You know your budget. You walk into DFS or any other variation of a sofa shop on Saturday morning with your significant other or on your own if you don't have one. Salesman walks up and goes, can I help you? The first thing out of your mouth is nearly always going to be, no thanks, we're just looking. You lying bastard. You know exactly what you want. You know exactly how much you want to spend. You know what the material is that you want on it, but you've said no to a salesman because, well, it's okay to lie to salespeople. You don't go to hell for that. But because you know he's going to try and sell you something. You're there to buy something.
Yeah,
something you don't want to be sold to. The other example, there's another example. I've used that. This man told you to keep your podcast shorter than an hour, so I'll stop.
I love that example. You're right. You basically boil it down to, I want to buy something. I go into a shop. The person in the shop says, "Would you like to buy something?" And I say, "No." That's a good point you make there. It's weird, some of the stuff that we do
and
doing these things.
and it's the techniques that you've got to start thinking. That's why I always laugh about, let's get outside of the box. I've never lived in a box. I've always been weird all my life. But if you think about, you know, that, for example, you don't want to be sold to. So why the hell do you think you're sold to them? You don't read those emails that come in from the spam email campaigns and stuff that you wanted to look at a thing from. You just delete them or they go straight to your junk box. Why do you think people are going to read yours? If you examine your behavior and why you buy, what motivates you to buy from people, then you'll start to understand how you can get people to buy from you.
Brilliant.
Here's I think thing. That if you don't want to buy from me, no matter how good I am as a salesman or a closer, you're not going to buy from me. It's a little insider tip there. I've worked in environments where people have been persuaded, cajoled, whatever terms you want to use, into buying stuff. And again, films like Boiler Room and Wolf of Wall Street, look at those. That's the environment I used to be in. And I've seen people buy that didn't want to buy by being pushed into it, bullied, cajoled, mocked, whatever. And guess what? They make crappy clients.
I can imagine, yes.
If you're selling boiler room stock and you don't give a damn about your clients and you just want the money, go ahead. You know, bully people into it and don't worry about giving them the money back when they complain or whatever, and see how long your success lasts. If you want to build a truly successful business and really have a good relationship with your clients, take the time to understand their needs and deliver on those needs, and you will never sell in your life, ever.
Yeah, got it. I'm still thinking back to that sofa shop example you gave. I guess really the salesperson there is the one who almost killed the sale, his approach. And I guess the approach should be make it easy for the person who comes in to feel safe and to feel that when they're ready to buy, they know the person to say, hey, you know what? I'm interested in this sofa.
Here's a silly example of how that can be. And I've done, strange enough, training on this sort of thing with people, but customer walks into the store and normally the sales guys will be gathered around like hyenas at a watering hole waiting for fresh meat to come in. And there'll be a power line and there'll be the guy that gets the first one and they get to chew. So they'll come over and they're hunting already. Instead of doing that, separate yourselves around the store, walk around, move things around, you know, fix the cushions on this sofa or move the book on the coffee table on there or whatever, and walk around. When you see something, go, hi, I'm guessing you're just browsing. You're going to say that anyway. So let's get that objection out of the way right up front. I guess you're just browsing, but is there any particular style of sofa you're looking for today? No, thanks. I'm just browsing. Shit, can't say that anymore because he's already said that. We're looking for a two-seater. Okay. Well, we've got some excellent ones over there. Go take a look. If there's anything you need help with, come give me a shout. My name's John. Be happy to chat with you and you know, see if we can get the right sort of style for your needs.
Like it, yeah.
And they walk off to where the two sofas are going, he's not selling us anything. now you've almost got a takeaway scenario going on where you've taken away the opportunity for them to be sold at, and they go, well, hang on a minute, I want it to be sold. I want it to be on the and off they go. You know, if you see my thing on three packages, you'll see people literally push away the cheap option and look at the most expensive and the middle one, knowing that they're going to go for the middle one, and you take away the most expensive one. But you take away options from people. The objections that people come up with at the end as to why they're not going to buy, you use at the front end for the qualification process. So you say, I know you're probably just browsing, you just want to have a look around, that's fine. Is there any particular style you're looking for? Bang, suddenly you've just changed the entire dynamic of that store. Brilliant. Because now people are thinking, oh, they're not here to sell to me, that's good. Actually, I did have a question. I wanted that style, but with that material, is that possible? Well, actually, yeah. You know, blah, blah, blah. Now you're having a conversation about buying, not being sold to. And that's gotcha. the entire point of this, is to stop selling.
I think that is a brilliant point at which to draw this to a close. I know there's a lot more stuff that you can share with people. Those who want to get in touch and have a chat and just find out a little bit more about what you do, and maybe just chat a bit about some of the problems they're having, what's the best way for them to find out more? Best way for them to get in touch with you?
Speak to me on my Facebook page, The Business Disruptor. It's the easiest way to get in contact with anybody anymore on Facebook. I have got a separate group on Facebook, which is the Stop Selling, Start Growing group. And that's designed for people that maybe don't want to take the plunge and spend money on one-to-one training, or they don't have a group of people or a team, and they just want to sort of ease themselves into it. And that's just 20 quid a month, so they can get on there. And the guy in question I was talking about before, the personal trainer, he doesn't have a business, but he's been on there, and he doubled his sales and paid for 4 years worth of the course in the first, I think it was 4 weeks.
That's not bad going.
You know, I can live with those sort of recommendations and testimonials. They don't hurt.
So, yeah, if they want to find you, just look up The Business Disruptor on Facebook. And they'll find you there.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Well, Stephen, it has been an absolute blast, as always, chatting with you. I never know where these things are going to go, but I think we've covered some really cool stuff in there. Anybody who wants to find out more, you can get hold of Stephen, find him at The Business Disruptor on Facebook, or check out the website for this episode. You'll find all the episodes at keithblakemorenoble.com/show. Look up this episode with Stephen Jones. You'll find more information. You'll find more contact details, show notes and summaries, etc. But that really is it for this episode. Thank you, dear listeners and viewers, for joining us. Thank you, Stephen, for joining us. Without you,
thank you for having me.
It's been a very weird episode. And as always, I'm going to leave us all with my guest's favorite quote. And Stephen's favorite quote is, sorry, this letter is so long. I didn't have time to write a short one.
You've been listening to the Keith Blakemore Noble Radio Show, helping you transform your deepest fears into your greatest strengths. To find out more, please visit keithblakemorenoble.com.